welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing good.
Can I say one thing first?
Sure.
Happy Mother's Day.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome. How you feeling today, Mama?
Yeah, oh, so special. Cranking two kids out. I get all this good stuff. I get flowers. I get breakfast in bed. I'm so lucky.
Well, when you had your two kids, well, first of all, let me just introduce us in case people aren't familiar who we are.
Who are we? We're Life with the Girlfriends.
And as you like to say, more life with
more
the girlfriend.
Life. I know.
I'm going to take my headphones off because I'm getting a weird reverb in my head.
You're going to stop looking like Princess Leah then.
Exactly. And now I can just talk normally without hearing myself in my speakers, which is always so distracting.
Jilly.
Well, because then all of a sudden I realize, oh, I don't pronounce my S's right. Am I hitting my T's correctly? Are my P's popping? And it's just too distracting. I cannot think of all those things at one time.
Yeah, I have a problem with P's popping. I pretty much do.
Well, you know what? I heard that's a medical condition when your pee is popping.
Oh, honey, that happened a long time ago.
But here we are.
I was a cheerleader, and I rode horses.
So your pee popped.
we are a PG-rated show.
Yes. Pees.
And my peas are popping.
And my G's are ginging or janging. I don't know. But anyway, we had a... I wanted to say Happy Mother's Day because you're my mama.
Thank you, sweetie.
We're Christine Marie and Julie. We're mother and daughter.
That's right.
Radio co-host.
Ho-host. Oh, all right.
I'm a ho-coast. Yeah. I'm a ho on both coasts.
That's right. You're bi-hostal.
Exactly. And we're two life optimization coaches. We're authors. You're a psychotherapist. I'm a former teacher. And our Sunday night show is really all about more life. And discussing our life and how to make all of our lives better, more, expanding them.
But, you know, we in private, though, we've talked about this. Mm-hmm. And what we say is, we do this show anyway.
Yes. Well, it's so
we have
funny.
So much darn
we
fun.
Do. It's so funny because when you decide to spend an hour with your favorite person and you can't stop talking, mm-hmm. you can't just be in your thoughts, you have to come back. And
right.
It's so much fun.
I know.
And you kind of have to leave the crap at the door.
We're really lucky that way.
There's not a lot of crap.
No, but we get to for an hour.
Yeah.
And usually it lasts longer than that because after the show we're like, well, I feel better. I preached myself happy.
I love it when preachers say that. I preached myself happy today.
Yeah. Woo-hoo. And you and I did our Life with a Girlfriends show and we Life with a Girlfriends happy today.
And we preached ourselves happy.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. And so today it's all about joy.
It's about me today.
It's mama.
It's all about mama.
It is. And we're going to talk a little bit about that because I'm also just done with Mother's Day.
Yes.
For the last 2 weeks, I have been inundated with Mother's Day stuff.
Yes.
And I woke up this morning just kind of feeling sad. And I don't know if because I'm not a mama, but I just kind of felt a little twinge of sadness. Mm-hmm. And then I go, wait a minute, why am I sad? It's my mama's day, you know?
That's right.
My boyfriend's daughter's having a baby, and it's kind of cute because, Mom, when you were growing up and had our, you know, years ago had us, was there anything called was there anything called a push gift?
Never. I never have heard of that until I was listening to The Housewives of Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
On Bravo.
And they
had
it.
And one of the ladies was Priggers.
Yeah.
And gave birth and wanted to know, they were asking what did she want for her push gift?
Yes.
Some kind of sparkling diamond or something like that. And I went, really? You know, it was funny because I was reminded when you were being born, Norm was there with me, you know, and I had one really painful contraction. He went, oh, honey, leave me alone. Don't touch me. And I realize that you know, that's played out in many scenarios, you know, where the woman's just like, you know, going through that and the, oh, come on, honey, you can do it. Hold my hand. Don't touch me.
Did you have an epidural at all? Probably not. Or maybe you did.
I don't know. I don't
but
think
it was
so.
Painful. Oh, the contractions are probably really painful.
It was just during contractions. Yeah. Not even pushing.
You know, I thought I mean, you didn't even get a gift. You just got a kid when you pushed him out.
I got the greatest gift of all.
Oh, thank you. Learning, or is that me or is that Gregory? Which gift are you talking about?
You were
about?
The first gift.
I was the first gift. You were the That's first awesome. Gift. Awesome.
And you remain a gift.
Aw, thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. And so it's just interesting seeing the difference in changes. You know, it's now we celebrate, and we were talking about this, Hillary and I were talking about this last night. She's so excited, and yet she knows that it does feel a little odd because now the sonograms that you get mm-hmm. are so detailed and in color that you know, you want to have more of them.
Whoa.
You know, you want to
start out with those pictures.
Yeah,
and
you're
then
like, you're like selfies with your little fetus baby, you know. And it is weird. And she's like, I've had to tell myself, this is not, you know, just because you can, you shouldn't.
Yeah.
Because we don't know what could happen if you're able to just do these beautifully pictured sonograms inside yeah. your womb.
You're starting your scrapbook early.
Yes. And so she said, I'm only going to do one, you know, and so forth. But it was just so interesting talking to her and then knowing your story about your kids coming mm-hmm. through the world. And then also, too, she was saying to me, she goes, talking about vacations. And she says, you know, I don't care what anybody says. My first vacation I'm going to take without my kid.
After she has her kid?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to go away with her for a week on a cruise.
Whoa.
I'm not going to have my kid with me.
Who's going to watch it?
I think her mom and her – and then his mom. They live in the same town. Mm-hmm. So they've been kind of hinting that they'll take him. And I recommended – I said, you know, it'd be good to take the vacation then when the child is not walking yet. Because, mm-hmm. you know, you've kind of got an older grandparent. And
yeah, I wonder if that's going to change, though.
And I wonder, because she's very analytical and very like, well, no, this is how it's going to be.
Right.
This is it. And it may change. And she says her one cousin's family, they just believe, no, the kids never leave the parents. They never go away for overnight stay with mm-hmm. anybody else. Mm-hmm. They always go on vacation together. It's just, and so in her mind, she's like, that's not how it's going to be with me.
Right.
I got to have a little alone time. Got to have a little me time. And so I am curious because here we are. I know growing up, we went with you guys everywhere. Well, first of all, we didn't have vacations growing up.
What's a vacation?
Yeah.
We didn't have like pictures, a million pictures in our phone. I used to be able to, you know, take a picture, and then we still have a box of pictures.
Yes.
And we always say if the house catches fire,
get that
go
box.
Upstairs and get that
Grab
box.
The box.
Because that's the only, you know, everybody else nowadays has their life documented.
It's so completely different,
yeah.
isn't it?
And we just have a little, you know, one of those shake a Polaroid picture.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, they're all curly cute now and everything.
I mean, it's so cute. It is so cute. But I was thinking, too, I mean, our vacations were when Dad had a gig in his truck that went across country.
Yes, exactly.
Like, hey, we're going to New York City.
We're going
City.
On vacation.
Woo-hoo, New York.
All four of us in the front of a cab.
Yeah. You know,
a cab.
Now that
cab
wouldn't
over
be illegal.
Yeah.
That would be kind of illegal, possibly.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Most of the stuff we did back then is illegal now.
Yeah, borderline.
Yeah.
But
we used
but we
to
had
make
the
your
best
beds
childhood.
in the back window.
I know. It was awesome. I remember when we traveled. I mean, when we got a little older, Grandma Peters would take us on vacation,
right.
Gregory and I. And it was so nice. I mean, when we grew up, I never knew they did that with the other kids, the other cousins. So mm-hmm. it was Greg and I, and then she had two other grandkids. And probably about 10 years apart, you think, maybe, or
yeah.
8, 10?
Yeah, maybe more.
Yeah, and I just didn't know if maybe they got too old to do the cross-country trips, but... Mm-hmm. Once Greg and I turned about 10, it seemed like every year Grandma and my aunt and sometimes another aunt and uncle would take us in the station wagon and we'd mm-hmm. drive to Colorado or we'd drive to Florida or we'd drive to
Arizona
mm-hmm. and we've driven to California. And, you know, I asked her, I said, did I miss this? Did you guys go with my other cousins? You know, because we always enjoyed that. And they're like, no, they didn't go. We didn't go. I said, oh, why not? He goes, literally... They just weren't good travelers.
Let's be honest.
Let's just be honest. You guys were easy to travel with.
Yeah.
And I'm like...
And you guys really were, because you were seasoned truckers.
We were seasoned, yes.
By the time you were like 3 or 4.
We had to be good travelers
yes.
because
yes.
there was no other option. And you were very creative in keeping us entertained. You know, we try to learn our 50 states and our
presidents
and our Great Lakes.
And I think we even learned like a mystery language.
Yeah, we were just like, let's learn something else right now, kids. Let's do something different. Let's do something. Yeah. And when you have to be, I mean, there's no room for fighting in a truck.
No.
And in some ways, I always think if you want to, sorry about that.
That's okay.
Talk amongst yourself, Mom.
Discuss. Discuss how good a travelers you were. Well, but I can remember you would like you knew, like I remember Grandma saying, hey, your kids we were playing this game on the road, and they would see trucks coming down, and they would identify the trucks. And I went, oh, yeah, like, you mean Peterbilt, Mack, Freightliner? Yeah. She goes, no, they'd identify what company
they worked for, yeah.
And they were so impressed with that.
Yeah, and isn't that great? I mean, when you have a lot of time looking forward, and you learn different stuff. Yeah. And so forth. But so we had a really nice childhood, different, yes. I guess, slightly
yes.
different.
Yes.
But it made us good travelers, and yes. my grandmother and my aunts and uncles, we all were able to experience that because, you know, they just said, yeah, I'd bring Greg and Julie along because they'll sit in the back seat. They'll be content looking at my map,
right.
plotting the path.
Right.
I mean, I remember my aunt would just give me her wallet and said, okay, put everything in sequential order, serial-wise, serial number-wise. Yeah. I'm like, sure, no problem.
No problem. I can do that.
I can do that, you know.
I know, and it's like nowadays kids have to be like totally not bored.
Right.
I mean, they have to be doing something a mile a minute.
Right.
And you guys could find your center. You guys could find your peace.
Yes.
Within the situation.
I mean, it felt like we could. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do remember a couple scenes, and they're not about doing stuff, you know. Right. I mean, I remember coming into Albuquerque and in the middle of the night, and just how it was total blackness, mm-hmm. stars, big stars, and then boom, here we are, and I could see Albuquerque and all its lights, and I'm like, that was pretty impressive.
Yes.
You know, I remember going into Wyoming and the Grand Tetons and just going, this really is big sky country.
It really
this is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I remember with Greg, we were going up Pike's Peak, you know, and it's middle of summertime, and at a certain point there was still snow on the mountains, and I was starting to get real dizzy. But it was so funny because my aunt was like, Greg, go write your name with your urine on the snow. And he's like, I'm not gonna do that. He might have done it.
He would do it now, though.
He'd do it now. He might have done it. I'm not 100% sure. He might have done it. So, I mean, I have these memories of us just traveling. I have memories of us in the truck.
When we were on the truck, yeah. And we would bring Play-Doh along.
Oh, yes.
Because we would just, you know, be bored and have to create little
stories. Well, because you're a writer, and so when times got tired and you're just like, oh, we do now, let's create a story with Play-Doh.
That's right.
And we would do scenes on the windows. You were so creative, and it was so funny because I think by the age of 6, Gregory had read like 2 Stephen King novels.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Stephen asked this little 6-year-old, what's your favorite author?
Stephen King.
Stephen King.
That Shining scared the hell out of me. Who are those twins? What are they doing there? That's horrible. And here comes Johnny? That's nuts.
Here's Johnny.
Yeah. It's a little scary. A little scary. But So as I'm celebrating, I look, it's kind of funny, I use the word celebrating you today, and I'm filled with great memories of our childhood.
Yes.
And we were so broke during those years, mm-hmm. those first 15 years of your life.
Exactly.
And I remember saying, I never felt it. Mm-hmm. Greg never felt it.
I'm so grateful because that was one thing I wanted, and I still pride myself on that, I guess, is that I wanted you guys not to feel
that it was
a struggle, you know, and.
Well, and here's the thing as well. I remember Adam Carolla. He talks about growing up, and he always felt broke, and mm-hmm. his parents never gave him anything and all this stuff. Adam Carolla, great podcast. You know, I love that guy. But he says, sometimes I just wanted a dog and I wanted a hoop for a mm-hmm. basketball.
Uh-huh.
And truly, it's those little things that make a kid feel right. abundant.
Right.
Also, it really is what the parents tell the kids that they'll believe.
I remember this is coming to me. We were someplace in the truck, and we were all outside, and it was raining. And we were just like, we're not going back in that truck. You know, we've been in it 24 hours, and it was raining. And you guys were little, but we started just doing Singing in the Rain.
Yeah.
And we were just, you know, you guys were just jumping in the puddles, and we were, I'm singing in the rain.
Yeah. I remember that totally.
Do you remember that as well? Oh, I know. It was such a great moment.
We had such great times with nothing.
Nothing.
I mean, nothing. And we never felt poor.
And I remember, I'm thinking of the time that we got a hotel room and Dad just said there was just one person because we couldn't afford
to tell the truth.
And so we snuck you guys in and Dad went out to get, I don't know, some dinner. And when you came back, everybody was real quiet.
Yeah.
Because I had let you guys jump on the beds and we got reported. And
from the prison below,
And somebody knocked on the door and said, how many people are in there? Open the door. And I don't know if I said it or you said it or something. I go, we can't open the door. We're all naked in here.
We weren't all
naked. We weren't naked, but that was our only.
I can't come in. We're naked.
Yeah. We can't open the door.
We're naked.
You're crazy.
I'm sure at 5 years old or 6 years old, that's what he said.
I know.
Don't come in here, MF-er. You're going to kick your butt. Ah, so funny. Yeah, and so when Daddy came home back to the hotel room, he was, you know.
Yeah.
We were in bad shape.
We were all real quiet. He goes, what happened in here? What happened?
Yeah. It was
nothing.
Bad. Nothing. That's your fault, really, though. Yeah. That was all your fault.
It's always Mama's fault.
Well, it's Mama. Yes, exactly. No. But we kind of got out of control a little bit. I don't know. But it was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun.
I remember one time we took a sleeping pill. But we weren't in the truck. But Dad and I took a sleeping pill. Or maybe it was just a tranquilizer. It was in the 70s.
Yeah, when you could get those anywhere.
Yeah, and we were on the way to St. Louis from Chicago, and we just got so tired. It was like, so we pulled over at some little Route 66 hotel so we could sleep because it just like, it never happened to us that we were like so tired.
Right.
And Greg was just in diapers, and I don't know, we woke up like 12 hours later, and Greg was just like walking around the hotel room in this loaded diaper. I mean, it was so big, and he was just wearing that, and he had just been walking around. We were all just zonked out.
Where was
I? You were there, but, you know, you were asleep already.
Anyway. I was asleep.
Greg wasn't.
No.
So he was just walking around the hotel, and his diaper was just like, it was huge. Walking around, he's this little guy with his huge diaper, like, oh, well.
You're like, it's the 70s.
This is not anything that we wanted to talk about
no.
this morning. We were going to talk about.
Well, I also want to say one more thing about Mother's Day, which is kind of cute.
Yeah.
So yesterday you got a video from your granddaughter. And it was so cute because she's getting older now. She's smart. You know, she's really smart.
She's smart as a whip.
Smart as a whip. So she's like, Grandma, don't be sad because we won't be there with you tomorrow. But don't worry. We're going to celebrate you anyway.
Don't worry.
Don't be sad.
Don't be sad. Just don't worry because we're all going to be together here having a great time. But we'll celebrate
you. We're going to celebrate you. Yeah. In spirit.
Thanks.
And I love her so much because she has this hand thing. It reminds
she's
me
like
of
a
Howie Mandel. Howie Mandel hands. Like, Grandma, with her hands like, Grandma, don't worry. You know, like, everything comes out with her hands. Like, don't worry, Grandma.
Yeah.
We may not see you tomorrow, but we're going to celebrate you. We love you and we're going to celebrate you. But hey, I got my own mama.
Yeah.
Come on.
I got other stuff to do.
I got other stuff going on. I'm 5 years old. What do you think I'm going to do? Drive over there and say hi? Ain't going to happen. So she's going to, she could really be a comedian. She's
she really
so
could be.
I remember watching her when she was
gave
2 years
old. She gave me a knock
old.
Knock joke on the the video.
Yeah.
She said, knock knock. Who's there? She went, but. But who? But. Glasses. Oh, wow.
And then she laughed.
That was so funny.
But glasses. That's hysterical. And it is hysterical because butt jokes are funny.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was funny.
Especially when you're 5.
Yeah.
Or 65 or 55 or 45.
I find them hysterical no matter what. I really do. I find them hysterical no matter what. It was kind of interesting, though, because Gregory kind of led her on, like, hey, do a butt joke. She's like, oh, okay. Knock, knock. Who's there? Butt who? Butt glasses.
She's got pimples on her butt. She is pretty. Yes. That's my parents used to always sing that song.
Now, was that a, who sang that song originally?
I don't know.
Well, it was so funny.
Sammy Davis Jr. Yeah, I don't know.
Exactly. So we celebrate moms today.
Yes. And if you're all over the world.
I remember. Do you remember Laura Schlesinger, Dr. Laura, back in the day?
Yes. Oh, Schlesinger.
Schlesinger, whatever her name was.
Yeah, Dr. Laura.
Dr. Laura. Let's just call her Dr. Laura. Yeah. The one thing I've learned about from her that I took away, one of my takeaways from her years ago, it always made me just, you know, happy in a sense, is like, you know, if you're a daughter and a mother, it's like you can always choose to have the best relationship. Don't think about it as being a mother relationship or a daughter relationship, mm-hmm. but having it be like a two-way street.
Right.
And so it doesn't, if you don't have a daughter, if you have a mom, but you don't have a daughter, mm-hmm. but you are a daughter, mm-hmm. you get to experience that whole relationship no matter what.
Right.
Because, you know,
right.
it's a chance for you to really develop that relationship. That,
yeah, like that my love. Mom and I didn't have a great relationship.
No.
But I have this mother-daughter relationship with you that surpasses anything.
Exactly. Exactly. It's just amazing.
And so I feel full. I feel blessed.
I feel blessed and I feel full and at peace, which is means nothing missing.
Nothing broken.
And right. I feel at peace. And I hope today all of our lovelies out there feel at peace. And if you can't feel at peace with your mama, feel at peace with my mama.
That's right.
I'm willing to share.
That's right.
She's got enough love to go around for
everybody. I do.
You can share her love.
You can come to Mama Christina.
Yeah, and if you don't have a daughter, I'm willing to share.
That's right.
I'll be the world's daughter. I'm a pretty good daughter, aren't I?
You're the best.
Overall, I'm a pretty good daughter.
No, yeah. you're the best.
And so really
sometimes I just like what? I don't get this. How blessed am I?
So we really want to talk about today. I want to talk about our garage sale that happened yesterday.
They're like, dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. I want to talk about the Kentucky Derby a little bit.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about Elliot's Corner, what I learned from my dog this week.
Yeah, we learned a lot. Which I always learn something. Yes.
And then I also want to talk about
our pillow talk.
Pillow talk, back when we can. And how, you know, I've been on this journey of getting rid of something, quitting a big habit, and mm-hmm. I'm going to share my progress and success and what I've learned and all that good stuff.
Oh, good. Okay. All right,
cool. So here we go. Let's talk about the garage sales.
Mm-hmm. Can I set it up just a wee bit?
Please do.
This is in our complex. We live in the country, but it is a rural subdivision and everything. But once a year we have this one day, on this first Saturday of May, we have this great big yard sale. Subdivision-wide yard sale, and everybody gets into it. And people from towns all over come, and it's from 8 to 4. And it is a madhouse.
Yes.
For whatever reason, we don't know why, but the people in our subdivision love this day. They get their tents out, and I mean like tents if it rains and things like that, to put all their stuff under. And they, some people make jelly. There's a bake sale. There's lunch. I mean, you have to understand how crazy this is.
It's crazy. And it makes our subdivision turn to a one-way street.
Yes.
Without any directional advances. Like, hey, this is really just one way this way. No, right. It's just a madhouse.
No, it's just a madhouse. And we have one of our neighbors. He has signs that he had made up years ago. That says, keep off my grass.
Keep off my grass.
Yeah.
MFers.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
He means it.
It's implied.
Yeah. Because they will park anywhere they can to get to the yard sales. And it's just yard sale after yard sale after yard sale.
Right.
And we learned from, I guess it's probably been maybe, we've been here 20-something years, but probably about 7 or 8 years ago, we had the great Corvette experience.
The great road rage experience
yes. of the yard sales.
Yes, and that was a deciding. I was looking through my past notes, mm-hmm. just of what we've talked about in the past, and this idea that there's something in your life that makes you choose to have a deciding factor for the remaining of your life.
Right.
Certainly this road rage incident was a turning point in our family.
It was a turning point in our lives.
So we always, you know, here we are, it's the first Saturday in May and years ago, and we're driving in our van, and Normano's driving, and it's not, it's like 9 o'clock in the morning. We're getting back into our complex. And are we leaving?
We're leaving.
We're leaving the complex. Mm-hmm. We're getting out of here, right?
Yeah.
And we're getting out.
Which is what we try to do every year.
And we were just a little late this year.
Just a little late.
And we might have been at 8 o'clock, but by then, people are already here. Yeah. I can't remember
people
what.
People don't honor the 8 o'clock
no,
thing.
No, it
they're,
starts at 7 o'clock in the
yeah.
morning.
Yeah. And it was raining yesterday.
Yeah. And so anyway, we're driving, trying to get out. Cars parked on both sides. There's lots of garage sales. And one-way road right now,
right.
and we're getting through.
Right.
And a Corvette decides to challenge us.
Right.
Like, he comes the other direction, like, right. And
stops right in front of our bumper.
Right in front.
Yeah.
And
vroom, vroom, yeah. vroom, vroom.
Like, and we're like, we're not moving.
No. Norm is
hello.
This,
we've been,
time,
we live here and we've been driving.
Norm.
Tranquil Norm.
Decides to.
And not tranquil by tranquilizers.
No.
But naturally, peaceful, tranquil.
Normal Norm mm-hmm. decides to become John Wayne.
Yes. And he made a stand. He took a stand. Like, yeah, and the Corvette. And if for literally what felt like forever.
Yeah. It probably wasn't.
Was it? Probably was like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And he has like, I ain't moving.
We're not moving, sir.
And
he's like,
you're going to have to Corvette's back
going,
up.
Rrr, rrr.
Not
nope,
moving.
Not moving.
Not moving.
Yeah,
no, I will stay
up
here
a bit
all
closer.
Day long
yeah, exactly.
before I move back up.
Exactly.
And the Corvette backed up.
Yeah.
But then the next phrase out of your mouth was, we will never be here
again.
On garage sale day.
And I know how to keep a promise.
Yes.
I'm a promise keeper.
Well, and it was funny because yesterday, we have a woman that comes and cleans our house once a week. And cleans our house is probably not the most appropriate thing for her because really what she does, she's my motivator. Because, and sometimes I have to pick her up because her car doesn't work.
Yeah.
So I'll go into town, pick her up. And for 3 hours straight or 4 hours straight,
yeah.
we just kick butt.
You guys kick
and
butt.
And initially we would clean the house and do the wood floors and do all this stuff. But now I'm like, you know what? I want to use her for more deeper stuff.
Yes,
cleaning the
yes.
basement, cleaning the closets,
right.
cleaning the garages. You know, garages.
And she's willing to, which
oh,
is so lovely.
Oh, she wants to. She,
yeah.
she very
she'll
much wants
like,
to.
She'll say like, you know, Julie, next week we've got to get that closet that your washer and dryer are in.
More organized.
We got to get that organized.
Yeah. Like, well, that's
okay,
fine.
Sure.
And so yesterday, while the garage sales were going, I was clearing out clutter. And you made a really good point, by the way. You said, I really believe that people who have these garage sales, they don't sell everything. They put it back in their garage and they wait till next year.
They do.
And that's crazy.
It. Yeah.
Because my feeling is, how much stuff do we have to sell
right,
every year?
Right.
Year in, day out. It's
right.
crazy.
And also the fact that we're not, I think we're known for like real reasonable prices out here.
Yes.
People will just literally give this stuff away.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you may be out there all day long for $20.
Well, and it's so funny because I told everybody, I'm not going to buy one thing at this garage sale. I don't need anything. I don't want anything. I'm not going to spend my time going to these garage sales. And Mona, she's like, we should have a garage sale. Get rid of some of this stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, why? I'm not going to spend all day out there
yeah.
to give it away for a dollar. I'll give it away.
I would.
I
that's what
away.
We would literally give it
get
away
will.
And use it as
lottery center, seed
as,
money.
As seed money.
Yes. And so Friday night, we're leaving the complex, you and I are, and I see someone's garage, because usually they have their garage doors open on Friday night
right.
for the locals
right.
to say, hey, maybe they got something in there.
The
first,
people that
first
live
pickers.
Here.
Yeah.
yeah. Would we be called the first pickers?
Yes, the first pickers. And so, and our neighbor.
I know.
Can't believe it.
I know.
They had a pedestal table in their garage.
I know.
And you've been asking for one
I
for
have been
years.
Asking for a pedestal table for years, and you found one of Doug's friends was selling one. It was like $350.
Yeah, and it was a good deal enough. Nice chairs.
Yeah.
But it,
and I actually
it
considered
perfect.
It.
Yeah.
yeah.
And so I go, oh, they have a pedestal table in there. I'm going to go see.
In our neighbor's garage.
And so I went in.
And it was funny because they're not the kind of people that would have that.
No.
But what they told you was,
somebody donated it to them to sell at the garage sale for the cheerleaders.
For cheerleader squad.
Yeah. So then you had the added pressure of it as a donation. And so they wanted $50 for it.
Yeah.
And it was not the right color and the chairs were kind of, you know, a little cheaper. But I'm like, well, for $50, I can work with this. I
yes.
could restain it,
right?
Put a different
paint
top
it.
On top,
exactly.
Because I have been debating. The one thing I have a problem with these new pedestal tables, they're short,
right? They're
and
low.
They're yeah. low. And our dining room table, which you bought in the 70s. Mm-hmm. It's not a pedestal table, but it's higher up. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, and so like, maybe I can raise the table top a little bit and mm-hmm. all this stuff. So it's, I thought for $50, we have absolutely. Now no space in our garage. Right. And I said, I wasn't going to do this. And then you called me.
So it's 7 o'clock Saturday in the morning. Yeah, yeah, we're leaving. It's raining and we're getting out. We decided to go to Wisconsin.
Yes.
For the day. And we're driving past this guy. He's been here about not quite a year. I think it might be his first garage sale. He's an older gentleman. And he puts out this puppy gazebo. And I went,
yes.
Stop. What is this? You yeah. know? And because I've seen them at Menards and stuff, and they're like $200. Yeah. And he had $40 on there.
Like, sold.
And he, I, you know, so we're leaving and we give him the, you know, the money and yeah. just say, we'll be back at yeah. the end of the day to pick this yeah. up. He goes, no problem.
No problem.
So already it's not even not 8 even o'clock.
And we've spent and we've $90. Spent,
that's right.
On two things we really have looked for. Which is very interesting.
That's true.
So I'm going to count it a blessing in some sense. Yes. It is our universal God's gift to us.
Yes.
And then finally, last night I was going out to a Kentucky Derby barbecue. And I mean that in a very small sense of just four of us, but it was fine. It was great. And anyway, I'm driving and I'm like, oh my gosh, there's one of those coffee tables where the top comes up. And so a writing table.
It's crazy. Table. Yeah. Yeah. Because right by our bank, there's this antique place.
Yes.
And they've since closed down. But they had this table for several weeks that I went in and we looked at it and everything. It was $400.
Right.
But it was one of those tables that I just really wanted it.
The top comes up. Yes. To meet you for food for, or for yeah, writing,
like
whatever.
Almost like a table height.
Yeah. And so you're like, I want one. And so here I'm driving by our neighbor's house, and it said free to good home. I'm like, well, I can't pass this.
And it was one of those tables.
It was one of those tables. And so I tore the sign off, and it tore off some of the paint. I'm like, oh, man. But that was okay, because I knew I had to repaint it anyway.
Right.
It was a heavy contraption, and it worked perfectly.
Right.
But it was, you know, it wasn't wood. I mean, it's, you know.
Like a pressed wood?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Which is still fine. It still looks beautiful. I'm going to paint it black anyway.
Right, right.
But the construction of it was perfect.
Yes.
You know?
Right.
And it worked. And I was like, lovely.
I can't even believe this,
but
how blessed
still,
we were.
We were blessed. But still, being sure in our ways not to buy somebody else's clutter.
Right. We always say every year, we're not going to buy anything.
And inevitably.
And then, I think it was 2 years ago, you were leaving and you stopped and this lady was just putting out a Dooney and Burke handbag.
$5. And I used that purse for a whole
long,
year.
Long time.
And I felt blessed by that purse.
Yes. It was gorgeous.
Yeah, it was gorgeous. You know. So, I know. I mean, we've had good luck, and we don't even try.
No.
Time that I actually tried to find something was never great.
Right.
I bought stuff I really didn't need.
Right.
But just by chance, when I see something, well, I've been looking for that.
Yeah.
So, I think that's
that was and so Dad and I, you know, we decided we're going to go to Wisconsin. We went to Beloit, and so on the way out, I had a coupon: buy one egg McMuffin, get one free. Mm-hmm. So we stopped at McDonald's and got the egg McMuffin. So it was like $3 or something like that. So we head on up to Beloit, and it's like an hour and a half away, but it's a lovely, really lovely trip with gorgeous scenery and everything. And so you've got these cards that you've given me. They're Speedway cards from when Dad was driving.
In Michigan.
In Michigan.
We build up points that equal dollars in free gas and free food.
And so imagine that, you know, $2,000 a week in diesel fuel.
Yeah.
We built up quite a bunch of points.
Yes, exactly.
So there was a Speedway there, and we go, hey, let's go. You know,
use free gas.
We got some gas.
Yeah.
So that was we filled up, and that was free.
Yeah.
And then we went to the river and just hung out till about lunchtime-ish, and we went back to Speedway because they have a great restaurant there, and we got some pork tenderloins and.
It was awesome. You had a free day.
And that was free because of the points.
Yeah.
So by the time we got home, we spent like $3.
Yeah.
And we got the whole day.
Yay.
And got the free table.
I mean, we spent, you know, 100 grand in fuel there. Yeah. I think at least give you a free day of fuel and food. But yeah.
I just felt like, well, I'm just happy.
Exactly.
I'm just happy.
You were happy. Yeah. I was happy to have you have that day because I could tell you came back refreshed.
I did.
Yeah.
I loved being on the, we backed up to the Rock River. Mm-hmm. And we were literally just about 5 or 6 feet away.
Yeah.
And it was just peaceful. And we moved to the back of the van and Dad had the bed down and we were playing Sudokus and Word Womp and just looking at the river and it was peaceful. And I'm like, thinking,
this is life.
Back there at the complex, there's like nonstop traffic and
not fun.
And I remember there's like a lot of trucks because people bring their trucks,
pickup trucks filled with stuff,
and there's a lot of smoke and stuff. Or you know what I mean from the engine, like maybe the muffler. I don't know.
That's an exaggerator. Speaking of my horse that came in second, the exaggerator. I look like a derby.
I got the horse right here. His name is Paul Revere.
But that's, it was interesting because Doug's daughter and son-in-law came over just to say hi because they're like, we're going to go to the garage sales. And they came and said hi and they go.
In the house here, to the house here.
And they said, if we lived here, we would not be here today. I said, exactly. It's horrible. And they actually said they would never come back to
and
these
garage sales.
And
that's why my parents are gone.
That's why my parents are gone.
Wisconsin.
Because it's not going to happen. You know, they could have gone to Chicago and been less traffic.
Did you tell them why we go away?
I told them about the road rage
incident. The great road rage incident versus conversion van.
Yes. I told them they were surprised. And
that
all
Norman
that stuff.
Would even, yes. even, yeah.
So the moral of the story is.
The takeaway is,
in some ways, if we just let nature, the universe kind of give us treats, you know, I picked up three things that we really needed.
Yeah.
Got them at a good price.
Not necessarily needed, but just kind of was on our radar.
Was on our radar.
Yeah.
Without even trying.
Not even trying.
Didn't search house to house.
No.
Without even trying, they came in.
And then one of them just had a little sign that said free.
And one said free. You know what? I'm going to say law of attraction big time here. You know, come on. And I'll tell you what, that's how I want to do garage sales.
Yes.
Because I'm not one of those people who want to go to one place.
Right,
not for
me.
But I want to talk about now. I want to talk a little bit about Elliot's Corner. I once had a dog, or should I say, he once had me. Welcome to Elliot's Corner. So here we are at Elliot's Corner. And it's a time when I want to talk about what I learned this week from my dog, Elliot Stabler.
May I say, though, that you had the sweetest little ukulele voice.
Oh, thank you.
And you play your ukulele so well.
Oh, thank you. Do you know what the song is from?
Yeah. I once had a girl.
Norwegian Wood.
Or should I say, she once had me.
Exactly. That song has no real conceptual meaning. I mean, I don't know. That song is a crazy song.
I am such a big fan of the Beatles.
I love that.
And it was good.
Norwegian Wood.
I don't know. It's just haunting, though.
It is haunting.
Yeah. And when I awoke, I was alone. This bird had flown.
Well, that's funny because she tells him she has to go to bed early and because she has to go to work in the morning.
Yeah.
And then he laughs at her in the song.
Work? I laugh at work.
And he tried to find a place to sit or go to bed. And
yeah.
Couldn't find one.
Yeah.
But isn't that good, Norwegian wood? And I'm thinking, is he Norwegian? Was that wood good? I don't know.
We just don't understand the wood reference.
Yeah, I don't understand the wood reference. I go there. Is it about furniture? Is it about like wood to put in the fire?
Yeah.
Or is it about my wood? My wood's Norwegian wood. And it's good.
I like morning wood.
Yeah, morning Norwegian wood. I thought you were British. I know.
I am British.
But my wood's from Norwegian. Norway.
Norway. Julie, you just invented a new country.
Yeah, Norwegian.
Yeah.
That's up there somewhere, that Norwegian place. Oslo, Norwegian. No, so yeah. But anyway, okay, here we go with Elliot's Corner because we got to get going. I got to talk about my pillar top.
But anyway, Elliot was sick this week.
Sick this week. Limping really bad.
And just down on his game. Yeah. I mean, really, really
sick. Enjoyed
it
in some sense.
We did enjoy the
break. Yeah, he was a peaceful little dude.
Yeah. But at some point after 5 days, we thought, We have to take him to the vet. Yes. Because
he wasn't putting any more pressure on his paw. No. He has this before because he plays hard and he digs hard.
Yeah, and he goes to doggy daycare twice a week.
And so he does.
He gets wounded.
He does. And he enjoys himself, so no big deal. He's an athlete. Mm-hmm. And athletes get hurt sometimes, and they had to recover. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't recovering fast enough.
No, he was not recovering.
And so I took him to the vet. And
this was a new vet.
New vet, because I wanted to go see what it was about, you know, and see her. Anyway, lovely young lady, probably just graduated.
Yeah.
And so the first thing, she's like, well, it's not broken, you know.
Because he hurt his paw, his front paw. Yeah.
And so look deep, and there's a little tiny cut in his palm. Mm-hmm. And she goes, well, this doggy is certainly dramatic.
Yeah, she kept saying, because she goes, I've seen dogs have worse than this, and it doesn't stop him.
It didn't stop
him. And Ellie's like limping on three legs.
Like,
and
I'm so sorry. He goes, he's a handsome dog, but he's very dramatic.
Yes. And so they brought in all the techs. Come see this handsome, dramatic dog.
Yeah. Well, then she took his little temperature.
Yeah.
And he went, whoa. That was a surprise.
Yeah.
Little thermometer up my butt.
Yeah.
Luckily, they put lubed on it. They lubed it up. That was nice of them.
like knock, knock, who's there? Butt thermometer.
Whoa. So funny. But then he had a temperature, a fever.
He had a big fever.
Yeah, so they go, oh, okay.
He's not so dramatic now.
No, now we understand why he's making a big deal out of this. He doesn't feel good.
No.
He's got a fever, and he's got a cut in his paw. And so I got an antibiotic. I got pain reducer, fever reducer.
Yeah.
And
cream.
And cream. And then now I have the cone of shame he must wear, because one thing that's preventing him from healing is the fact that he keeps licking it and
licking
at his
paw.
So it's not able to get dry enough to heal, and so it's always wet and so forth. And so here's what I learned from my dog Ellie.
He had to wear the cone
of shame.
Cone of shame.
But because he wore the cone of shame, literally within one day he wasn't messing with his paw.
Right.
It healed.
Yeah.
And I think to myself, how many times do I have a scab? Emotional scab that I just pick at it and revisit it and revisit it.
Yes.
And I never get it a chance to heal.
Right.
Because I just keep picking at it.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, how do I wear an emotional cone of shame? But I don't want to call it a cone of shame because that's pretty bad. And I only call it a cone of shame because of the up. You remember that?
Yes.
I love that.
I love that movie. Aww.
I love how the older guy walking with his walker, he had tennis balls on his walker.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how much foreshadowing do you need in that movie?
Yes.
And, you know, when all the dogs are coming and chasing him down, he was able to prevent them from attacking him because he took the balls off of his walker and threw the ball.
Yay.
And it's like, what, you know, on your journey in life, you have what you need already.
And if you don't, you got to take your balls and throw them.
Throw caution to the wind. Take those balls and throw them to the wind. I love that movie.
Luckily, I have balls to throw.
So I'm not going to call it my emotional cone of shame.
No, no.
I'm going to call it my emotional cone of diversion.
Right.
Because sometimes you just need to wear a cone, a boundary that says you're no longer going to pull up that scab.
You're not
going to
pick at that wound.
Pick at that wound.
No.
And keep
moist. You
and
know
not get it
what's
back
going to happen.
Infected.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I kind of infected a wound on Friday a little bit that we won't talk about that much. So I think it's very interesting that the same day my dog got his cone of shame, I learned the lesson that I needed to have a cone of diversion for my emotional wound.
Right.
And so forth. So that's
isn't it nice, though? Because, you know, think about in the old days, something like that would have lasted a week or two.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And now we just quickly build a bridge to get over it.
Exactly. And what I learned from Elliot, too, I mean, here he is. And in an instant, 2 days later, he's fine.
He's back to normal.
Yeah. And where the and it was so cute because Elliot got really bandaged up on his leg.
And that was a pretty interesting Band-Aid.
And so then everybody noticed him.
Everybody.
So
when we were at the big guy,
the
park,
and he went to the bathroom, and cars would stop.
And they go,
what happened to his
leg? What's his little puppy paw? What's going
and I said,
on?
Julie,
you got a story going then.
I said, well, he loves to dig a lot, and he loves to play hard.
Sir Dig-a-Lot.
Sir Dig-a-Lot.
Actually, it's Sir Poop-a-Lot, but we don't tell him that.
Sir Dig-a-Lot, and then he poops in his hole, and then he covers it back
Good.
Up.
I wish he would.
Exactly. I wish we'd taught him that trick.
Yeah.
I wish he taught himself that, but no, that's not true. Okay, so anyway, yeah. And then he just started barking relentlessly, and I said, it took the joy out of people talking
it
to
did.
Me.
It did. So people were so on happy on Friday. They just wanted to stop and talk and chat. Yeah.
And then Elliot started feeling like, better.
Yeah.
And then he used to start going ballistic.
And then they go, oh,
and he's
well.
Not an aggressive dog.
Not
he
at
just
all.
Wants them to pet him.
He just, look at me. Look at me. I'm here. My tail's wagging.
My trainer has been talking to me about having him wear a collar, you know, to help with the
like
barking.
Like a bark collar?
Yeah. She says it might just end in a day. That,
wow.
You know, a day of this, and then he would
I would
stop
be
barking.
Willing to do that because he's such a good doggy.
Yeah.
He doesn't deserve to have these bad habits.
And what I've asked God that we're both in agreement with is that I have a well-trained dog.
That's right.
That I can,
we
take,
can take
anywhere.
Anywhere.
And enjoy anywhere.
Right.
And he's not quite there yet. No. I believe.
That's right.
And I have much faith that that will happen. And until that moment, I will learn and renew my mind as much as I need to get him to be there.
And he's got his own puppy gazebo now.
Yes, he has his own puppy gazebo now. So we're going to have a good time with him. We're going to have a good time with him. And,
yes.
And that's where I learned.
And I love your takeaway. So at the end of it all, we just learn not to pick at our old wounds.
Yes. Well, I remember that story from Happiness for No Reason, Marcy Shymoff book. And she was, I don't know if it's true or not, I believe it's true, the story about in some of these Indian tribes, if you have an emotional wound, you're allowed to say it three times to the
right.
to the tribes, to the
right.
elders.
Right.
And after the third try, third time you say it, they're like, kind of cut you off.
Done.
You're done.
You're done now. We heard that.
Now, okay.
Yeah.
The scab is over the wound. Don't pick at it anymore.
Right.
Go.
Right.
Live your life.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
And I think that's what we have to choose to do.
We'd really have to choose to
and
do that.
And it was funny because I really asked for forgiveness on Friday, you know, from God, from you, from everybody, because I had just an emotional wound that I was picking at too much.
Right.
And so I think it's very interesting that God showed me Elliot's life.
Absolutely.
And I was like, here it is.
Right.
I was like, I get it.
Now we get it. Yeah.
I have to come up with a better saying than, you know, cone of diversion. That's not really good. Cone of shame is so powerful. So,
well, you know, we in Elliot's Corner, we talk a lot about shame. We talk about being, you know, rescue dog shamed
and
water shamed and socialized shame. And
I wonder why.
This is very interesting.
Yeah, I'll have to look into this more.
We'll have to delve deep into
that.
Exactly.
Why do we feel the shame of interesting.
Yeah, at Elliot's
so
Corner.
So, girlfriend, are you ready for
Pillow Talk?
Pillow Talk. Pillow Talk. All right, everyone. Now it's our time for Pillow Talk or Pillar Talk because we couldn't find a song that says Pillar Talk. So, thank you, Doris Day, for Pillow
Talk. We could have Gregory make one up.
I too much like Pillow Talk.
I love it too.
Yes. And hopefully this week I've gotten my volume better on those songs. Cause
we didn't mean to blast you out of your seat last
week. Exactly. So today I want to talk about our physical pillar, the pillar of health, and how so many times it's not doing more, but getting rid of the habits that don't support us.
Right.
I've talked to David Ross. We interviewed him about his two habits that he really got rid of, smoking and
it's
drinking.
It's not what you're adding. It's what you're subtracting.
And you made fun of me because I kept calling them sad habits. Like, oh, that's such a sad habit. Your 20 years of alcoholism.
It was like he's like lost everything. You know, David, we call those sad habits.
not to make
and then last week you did say something, too, I thought was funny.
What did I say?
You said, well, we were talking about homelessness.
Yeah.
And you went, you know, Mom, this is just, it's so interesting, this homeless chic. I'm like, there's homeless, you know, they have the backpack from Cabela's. They have the dog, the little scarf around his neck.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't even know
They
anymore.
Have their own trees.
I mean, it's so true, you know. I don't even know anymore. Because you want to help who you want to help. And you're like, I don't know what your story is.
Right.
I know too many people who've been homeless for a short time. And sometimes longer time that it's like, I don't know anybody's story.
Mm-hmm.
You can't paint anyone with the same brush. Mm-mm. But getting back to the physical pillar.
Right, right.
So I've been going on this journey with everybody about giving up sugar. And the first 30 days, I have been trying my whole life. It's one thing I can say that probably my extra calories come from. I use it as my emotional shield. I use it.
Comforter.
And the one thing about food or anything like that, you know, it's 5 minutes going down and then you're still left with the numb, you know, not you know, like,
right.
Now what?
Yeah.
Now what?
Right.
But after reading everything I know about sugar, and it's, you know, I was reading this more information about sugar, and we know how it messes with your blood sugar levels and all that stuff, and, you know, the insulin in your body, and you don't need it. There's no real point to having it in your diet. But it does taste good, and I have a lot of great emotional connection to baking with my grandmother, to baking with you.
And you're so, you're such a good, when you were in fourth grade, you were making homemade cheesecakes.
I mean, I literally love that.
The one thing you wanted for your birthday was one of those cheesecake things, I can't remember.
A springform pan.
Yes. You wanted that for fifth grade.
And I did get that, and I made cheesecakes. Right. And I was so disappointed because the first one I made had a crack in the middle. Still tasted good.
Yes.
And a little whipped cream on top, you can't see the crack. And I realized at that moment that sauces are not just good for the tasting, but they cover up a lot of
a multitude of sins.
Exactly. So like, oh, it may not look that perfect underneath that sauce. I get it now. I understood it. Okay, but so anyway, talking about giving up sugar.
Right.
And what I read about a month and a half ago that really made me decide to make a conscious, deliberate decision to give up sugar was that sugar also puts a lot of water weight into your body. It's,
right.
It causes inflammation.
Inflammation,
so
water has to go there.
A lot of water weight comes in. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I never realized. I knew about the inflammation, but did not know about the water weight. And sometimes my water would fluctuate in my body. Sometimes my ankles will be a little swollen. And if you have a blood pressure issue, which I don't have, but I was noticing that my blood pressure would be elevated once in a while. I was like, whoa, and what do they give you? The first thing they give you is a diuretic when they want you to have lower blood pressure. And I thought, you know what?
That's true.
I can just get rid of sugar. Let's see if this works. And I made a conscious decision, made a deliberate decision. And I'm going to say, thank you, God, for helping me, because the power inside me, you know, is strong. You know,
yes.
Not me. It's helping, not, you know, it's not me, because I don't have that. I have a lot of emotional connection to sugar, but it's been somewhat easy.
And now you're on your next 30 days.
Next 30 days. And I want to say that my life has gotten better because of it.
Right.
But I also know that I'm wondering if I'm having some emotional old issues come up that need clearing now.
I believe you are having some emotional clearing, and basically it's a physical clearing as well.
It's a physical clearing. My cells, and it's cute because after our 30 days, I had a little bit of sugar, which was totally planned. You know, I was
We planned it.
Yeah. And then the next day I was like, nope, no big deal.
What was it? I don't even remember now.
Well, I had a couple of bites of Gregory's dessert in San Diego. Only one day. He had desserts quite a few times. And then I know that on the way home I was going to pick up a couple of donuts.
Oh, right. That's what it was.
One donut place in the suburbs.
That's what it was.
And I did.
Yeah.
And it was funny. We didn't even get through them.
No.
Because once the sugar is out of your diet for 3 or 4 days, the taste bug has come back and you don't need as much to be satisfied.
Right.
And it's interesting because I don't know if anybody else has done this where you'll have a couple of cookies or 3 cookies or 4 and then you're like, oh, I need some protein now because I feel a little messed up.
Yeah.
And then you need a little something sweet after it. You know, it's just this nonstop.
It's like a wheel.
And I can literally imagine sometimes our grocery store, our local grocery store, will have these humongous sales, like Chips Ahoy cookies, for like $1 for a whole container. You're like, wow, that is a great bargain. How can it be a bargain if it messes your, you know, messes with you?
Right.
But in the past, I would get that, and I might take me a weekend to get through a bag of cookies, not even thinking about it. You know, why? What was the point?
So now you're extremely, a lot more conscious.
And I'm only on my second 30 days.
Right.
But I can tell that I'm feeling different.
Yes.
And it's been easier than giving up diet soda. I mean,
yeah.
I remember those first weeks of diet soda, you would sometimes go, you're kind of crabby.
Could I buy you a diet soda, please? Am I the great enabler?
No, you were really just testing me.
Yeah.
How sure are you, Julie? I want you to be strong in your convictions and strong in your decisions. So I'm going to tempt you and tease you because you're kind of crabby. I don't do about it. What can I do with this?
I'm like, Julie, would you like some sugar?
Yeah. And so, well, when I read something about diet soda, you know, it takes, you know, it's not good for you.
Right.
And then you get more information and more information. I think the information about diet soda that pushed me over the edge was the fact it wasn't that it might cause cancer. It wasn't that. It was the
wrinkles.
Yeah. No, it was a, it was a, the information that it's so super sweet.
Oh, yeah.
That it fakes your brain right. into thinking that it's eaten something sweet.
Right.
So it produces your insulin.
Yes.
But there's no thing to counteract.
Can you imagine? That's
no
crazy. Yeah.
And I thought, well, that's just stupid. Why do I do that?
Yeah.
No need. And I decided, like, with sugar, with diet soda, I'm not going to say never.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll have a sip of Doug's because he hasn't given up diet soda. Mm-hmm. He wants to, but he hasn't given it up. So if he's at the movies with me and he buys a diet soda, I'll have a sip of his. And I feel nothing towards it
mm-hmm.
except that I enjoy that one sip. But I don't enjoy more than one sip.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with sugar right now. I don't enjoy more than a couple of bites.
Mm-hmm.
It's enough. So I praise God, thank you for having my taste buds get back to normal.
Right.
I remember two things from two thin people, I'm sure I've said this before. Tim Gunn, you know, taking. There is a real quick.
What was it? Project Runway.
Project Runway. Yeah. He was taking normal people across where they have the spread for, you know, all the food out for all the staff, you mm-hmm. know. And he says, avoid this table at all costs because one bite is not enough and two is too many.
Yeah.
I go, got it.
Got it.
And then that's Gia. De Laurentiis? Yes.
From Food Network?
Food Network. The girl with a big smile.
Yes.
Big teeth. Yes.
Little tiny girl.
And she says, well, I've known forever that food is only for tasting.
Wow.
She's a chef.
Yeah.
She cooks.
Yeah.
And food is only for tasting. Got it. I got two things. So I enjoy food still. I still eat. I still enjoy food. But I realize that those things that are high in calories, not really, I can just taste them and enjoy the
mm-hmm.
taste.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy the taste. Mm. So I'm going to say today, thank you for listening to Life with the Girlfriends. I want you to say, enjoy the taste of life today.
Yeah,
and
you know
happy
what?
Mother's Day.
Oh, thank you. You know what I was kind of sad about?
Mm.
That I didn't get a chance to tell my email list that they should, on the 5th of May, go to Amazon and get my story.
Yes.
Sinkhole de Mayo.
Yes.
By Christine Peters.
I'm sorry, too. So go there now.
They should go there now.
And get the book. It's
I
a
think
dollar.
It's, if you're part of Prime, it's free.
It's free. Sinkhole de Mayo.
Yes.
Like, is it by, are you using a pen name or is that your real name?
I can't remember if
I
was using.
C.D. Peters.
I don't know. C.D. Peters, maybe.
C.D. Peters.
Maybe
C.D.
so.
Peters. Yeah. Mom and her pen name. Everyone, have a great taste of life today. Happy
yeah.
Mother's Day to you
oh,
all.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Happy Mother's Day to you, Mama.
Thank you, sweetheart. You know, I just love being with you. It was great.
It was great. It was great. It was great. It was great. It was great.